Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua and chapter 1. We're going to be looking at chapter 1, 1 through 9 tonight. And if you could, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I know that we've been standing, but I want us to see the reverence in God's Word. Sometimes I have you stand, sometimes I don't. But tonight I want you to see there's a transition taking place in this book at the beginning of it here. And it's really important for us to take a look at. So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Thank you, Ken. We're going to begin there and we're going to read through verse 9. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea, till the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May God bless the reading of your word. The reading of his word. You may be seated. So what's happening in our text? Moses, according to the end of Deuteronomy there in 34, he dies. The Lord buries him. It's a very peculiar thing to read in Scripture when we see that, because nobody knows the burial plot of Moses. That's only between him and the Lord. I think it's pretty precious to see that. Moses is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, just simply because the first five books, were written by him and everything there. And I really love Moses, his story, everything about him. And so it breaks my heart to see him pass in Deuteronomy. And like I told you before, my friends are Jewish. And so, I take it to heart. I see him pass away at the end of Deuteronomy here. And it makes me sad, because, man, he'd been with the Israelites, the children of Israel. He'd been with them for a long time. For 120 years, he was working strong. He was working hard. Even when he died, he was strong, and his eyes were not dim. As I get older, I'm 37, my eyes are getting more dim as the day goes. And some of you can attest to that. Moses, it says, to the day that he died, his eyes were strong and his frame was strong. And so it saddens me to see that he was brought up to the top of the mountain, but didn't get to go in. He got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to go in because of disobedience. The Lord loved him, and the Lord took care of his burial. The people grieved him. Moses was a wonderful man. But it says in that text in Deuteronomy chapter 34 that power was being transferred from Moses to Joshua. Moses had laid hands on Joshua, ordaining him, if you will, putting that power over to Joshua. Joshua knew this was coming, and I want you to put yourself in Joshua's shoes tonight. I want you to see what was before him. I want you to see what was before him, something much like Zerubbabel had before him when he took the children of Israel back to Jerusalem. Joshua had something that was coming at him that nobody had ever looked at before, and that was the land of Canaan that he was going in to possess, him and his people. He had big shoes to fill, if you will. Didn't he? He comes in after Moses. Moses had brought the people through the Red Sea. He had done all these miracles. He had given them water from hitting the rock. And he prayed and food came down. And it was awesome, the work that Moses was doing. Submitting himself to the Lord God. But Moses' life came to an end, and here we have Joshua. Joshua taking his place. I'm sure that Joshua had some fears and some problems as he began, because we see at the beginning of the book of Joshua where the Lord tells him to fear not three times. The work of the ministry is not something that's easy. The Lord employed Joshua to go and to eradicate the people of the land and to utterly overthrow them and to remove them from the land. This was a task that lay ahead of Joshua, of constant battle uphill, literally, quite literally uphill, from the time that they enter into the land of promise on uphill. Joshua had his work cut out for him. But there are things here that the Lord tells to Joshua that we're going to look at this evening, that I think that if we apply them to our everyday life, we will do ourselves much good. Has the Lord ever called you to do something? He ever spoke to you to go and to minister to somebody, to do something? Anybody? Okay. You ever had any fears about going and doing it? Right. So this, you can place yourself here in Joshua's situation, multiply it times 9 million, because here Joshua is leading all these people into a land that wants to kill them. He's supposed to remove them, settle the people in their lands, and worship the Lord. He had a lot of work to do. Listen to what it says here in chapter 1 and verse 1 concerning Joshua. And I'm going to give you 5 or 6 things tonight, and they're going to go pretty quick. And we're going to see that 1 through 9, it's going to be laid right out there. I mean, it almost jumps out at the page at you when you begin to notice it. Listen to what verse 1 says. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant. Now, we know that Moses led the people, but the scripture here calls him a servant. Why does the Lord call him a servant here? Because he was a servant, and to lead, you have to be able to serve. There's just no getting around that. I don't care how great Moses was, if he didn't serve, he couldn't be the leader that he was. Moses served the people. Who do you think all of the pressure came to when the people began to murmur and complain? It was Moses. Moses was a servant, and so we see that this was not a position for him to bully, and not a position for him to try to pull rank. But it was a position of service. It was a position of service, and this is what we're going to notice with Joshua. Listen to what it says here in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Go back up to verse 1. Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying. Now Joshua, understand, Joshua was a servant too. He was the servant or the slave of Moses. This is what the word means. He ministered to Moses in every capacity that Moses wanted him to minister to. How Moses had needed him. This is how Joshua would minister. But he was a servant. Joshua was a servant. And so the role that he was about to partake in, he was about to lead the people. But in doing so, he was going to serve them as well. And so we can't overlook this word servant. It's at the basis of our Christian faith. We are to serve Christ Jesus. Came to what? Serve. Did he not? Christ Jesus came to serve. And there are people that don't like to serve. They want to lead without ever serving. And there's a problem with that. To be able to lead, you have to be able to serve. And here we see that Moses was. And then the Lord has Moses lay hands on Joshua to serve as well. But we're going to now get into some things that the Lord begins to reveal to Joshua. In verse 2 it says, "My servant Moses, my servant is dead." And now here the first thing that we see is a command by God. If you got a pen, you'll want to write these down. They're really simple. They come right off the page at you. The first thing is service. You see that in verse 1. The second thing is a command. Let me get that straight there. The second thing is command. Verse 2, listen, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel." God here gives Joshua a command. And what is that command? Get up and cross the river. Now, you got to understand something. The river was in full flood stage. It was running over its banks. This was a time that you just didn't get into the river. But the Lord commands him. He says, "Joshua, get up and go across the river." You reckon he had a little bit of apprehension? A little bit of earthly anxiety? A little bit of fear? You mean to tell me that Joshua's going to take all of these people across the Jordan and go into the land to possess it? He wanted to when he was a younger man, 40 years prior to this. Does he still got it in him? So the second thing that we see is the command that's given by God for him to go cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. So we have a command. But I want us to notice that right after this command, the Lord follows up with a promise. And this is so awesome for us to see, because He does. He promises us things. He promises us things in Scripture. He commands us to do things. When He called me to preach, man, it scared me to death. You don't even know how bad it scared me. I mean, unless you've been in my place and where I'm at, it's hard to understand. But man, when He called me to preach, I was the most backward kid in my class. I was always well liked. I mean, you know, I didn't have any enemies. But I certainly didn't want to get out and talk in front of people. I certainly didn't want to be in the spotlight. I wanted, even from the time I was a little bitty boy, I was scared to death to speak in front of people. My inadequacies were made real in the face of God's call in my life. I begin to see and I begin to understand that I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. And the truth is that I was right. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do this on my own. This is why He's called me to preach the gospel. So He would receive glory from it. You notice I don't get up here and read anything else other than the Bible. Y'all notice that? Don't ask me to read something other than the Bible, because I just ain't good at it. Period. I'm just not. God called me to preach the gospel, and with that came a bunch of fear, came a bunch of anxiety, came a bunch of inadequacies. They were made and brought to light in my life. And I was just like, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way. I'm not doing it for 6 years. I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I should have listened to what the Lord told Joshua. Because He told Joshua, He gave him the command, but then right after that, He gave him the promise. Listen to what He says. And listen to what He says here in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory." I can imagine the heart of Joshua beginning to calm as the Lord begins to reassure him in light of his inadequacies. Moses is gone. The time that he spent with Moses, he was able to see where God miraculously intervened on behalf of Moses' life and the people. But now Moses is gone and it's his turn. I can see Joshua as he begins to calm down as the Lord speaks to him. In verse 5 it says, No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. The Lord comes here to Joshua and He tells him, I was faithful in the past to your master Moses. I will be faithful to you. I can't tell you how many times that I have went to these passages in Joshua as I have dealt with my call in the ministry. It is a call that is not easy. It is very difficult. But one thing that I do have is God's promises. One thing that you have in your life, whatever you're facing, is very simply God's promises. He told Joshua that He would never leave him, that He would never forsake him. And He didn't.
Amen.
Listen to what He says in verse 6. This is still the promise. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. The Lord comes back and He reiterates and He says, this is going to happen. You will give them this land, Joshua. You will be my instrument to take them across the Jordan River into the promised land to settle them. So He gives us, in first, we have a service. There's work to be done. And then second, the Lord gives a command to Joshua. 30, He gives him a promise that the promised land is going to be his, that they will take it, that they will settle it. The fourth thing is another command that's given. My favorite out of these 9 verses. In verse 7 it says, only be strong and very courageous. Then the Lord tells him to take the first 5 books that Moses had recorded. And He says, I want you to take the books and let them guide you in everything that you do. And then you will be successful. And then you will be prosperous. Listen to what He says. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. And so his success is not only going to be contingent on him stepping out on faith, but what is it going to hinge on? God's word through his obedience through God's word, right? Listen to what he says. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. I know that we talk about the prosperity gospel and being successful. This is really the only place in Scripture where we see it. But it's all contingent on Joshua meditating on the Word of God and keeping it close and keeping it in his heart. Letting it guide him every step of the way. It says, "You so that you may have success wherever you go." Verse 8. Listen to what it says. Same thing. Promise of success. There's a command to keep the Word of God in our hearts, and it promises success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Did Joshua need faith? Absolutely. You better believe it. He absolutely needed faith. Did he need to listen to God and what God was telling him? Absolutely. But the Lord also tells him and shows us that we have to keep His Word and meditate on it in our hearts. And we'll be prosperous and we will have success. Well, I want you to see what the last one is. It's a command and a promise. He goes back and I'm fixing to be done. Listen to what he says in verse 9. This is before he crosses the Jordan River. This is the sixth thing. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why do you think the Lord told him not to tremble or be dismayed? Quite possibly because he was, right? I've been in this position before. I've trembled before congregations. I know what it's like, and I can feel that pressure. Because it's completely out of my character to do what I'm doing right now. And my wife will tell you that. My wife, Casey, will tell you that. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Three times the Lord tells him this here. Three times the Lord reiterates that he is to be strong and courageous, that he's not going to leave him, that he's not going to forsake him. Three times he tells him, have I not commanded you, be strong, be courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In verse 9, you have the command and then followed up by the promise yet again. It says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is a promise that we have from God's Word. Joshua, it just didn't go to Joshua, but this goes to us as well. The Scripture is too clear and too plain on this when we see it in God's Word, that He will be with us wherever we go. If He has called us to something, as I said this morning, He's going to equip us to go to do it. But in that equipping and in that work that we do, He's not going to leave us in it. He's going to walk with us through it. Do you understand that? And so Joshua here, you see first that there was service. They were to be servants. Then you see the command there in verse 2. The promises made in verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then the command to stay in God's Word in verse 7. Prosperity and success from God's Word in verses 7 and 8. And then you see in verse 9 a command followed up with the presence of God. The presence of God always being with him in verse 9. And so tonight I say the same thing to you. Be strong and courageous, whatever God has called you to do. Whether it's to be a mother, a father, a grandmother, whatever job that you're doing, whatever command that He's given to you, and this goes for me as well, that we're to be strong and courageous, knowing that God is with us. That He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. Amen. Guys, let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Or we'll stand and we'll pray and then we'll sing. Let's do that.